7, Stan Phillips.
Mansions of glory and suicide machines sprung from cages on highway nine, torn with human ticket and stepping out over the line.
Good morning, Met fans. Happy Friday, TGIF. And isn't it a glorious Friday? Oh, what a night, as Frankie Valli used to sing. It wasn't December of 63. It was actually May 5th? Cinco de Mayo of 2002 that will live on for infamy as the New York Metropolitans pulled off one of the biggest comebacks in team history. What a game. In Philadelphia, nonetheless, our hated rivals. And we win the ball game 8-7, scoring 7 runs in the ninth. I'm still flying high after that victory. What a big comeback. Something like this you maybe see once in your lifetime. And I'm glad I was watching it when it happened. Oh my goodness, was it thrilling. You always wonder when you're playing games like that, you get so close and maybe you falter and fall run shy or tie it up and lose in extra innings. But no, the Mets pulled it off with 7 in the ninth, and Edwin Diaz came on and held them off in the bottom of the ninth to cap off one of the greatest Met victories of all time. Yes, our beloved Metropolitans scored 7 runs in the ninth inning on Thursday night to shock the Philadelphia Phillies and come away with an 8-7 win at Citizens Bank Park. What a night it was. But let's not forget, for 8 innings, the Met bats were quiet. But they put together an unbelievable rally in the ninth inning. Francisco Lindor, who had been in a slump, launched a 2-run homer to bring the game back within 4 runs. And with 2 runners on and 1 out, Joe Girardi was forced to bring in closer Corey Knebel. Mark Canha drove in another run with a single off Knebel. And pinch hitter J.D. Davis doubled to make it a 7-5 game. With runners at second and third and 2 outs, Brandon Nimmo singled up the middle. What a clutch hit by Brandon. Game was on the line, and he brought in both runners to tie the game. And Starling Marte homered early in the game, launched a double off the left field center field wall, amazingly plating the go-ahead run. What a shot by Starling. 3 of the Mets' 7 runs in the inning came with 2 outs. Taijuan Walker, now he was a starting pitcher. His night got off to a rocky start. After a walk to Kyle Schwarber and a Lindor error on what looked to be a routine double play ball, put two runners on, and Bryce Harper lined an RBI double into the left field corner. Now, a Nick Castellanos ground out made it a 2-0 game, and JT Realmuto drove in third with a line drive single up the middle. Gene Segura added an RBI single of his own in what turned to be a nightmare inning for Walker. And at this point, I'm saying to myself, oh, well, it's going to be one of those nights. The Phillies' bats are just going to be alive. And we may have back-to-back clunkers. Now, Walker allowed 4 runs in the first on 3 hits and 2 walks, allowing 30 pitches, as Lindor's error changed the entire outlook of the evening. Now, the Phillies tacked on another run in the second and then used the long ball to build the lead even further in the fourth as Harper and Castellanos went back-to-back. The Mets were without a true long man in the bullpen on Thursday, so Walker stayed in the game perhaps longer than he normally would have. He ended up going 4 innings, allowing 7 runs, 6 earned on 9 hits with 2 strikeouts and 2 walks before giving way to Chase and Shreve in the seventh. Now, making his third start against the Mets this season, Aaron Nola is rolling. He was pitching great. He struck out Eduardo Escobar in the fourth inning, his 5th strikeout to that point, and 8th straight batter he retired. A Pete Alonso single was the only hit Nola allowed through the first 4 frames. The Mets finally got on board in the 6th after Nola retired 13 straight batters. Marte, who thought he walked on the 3-1 pitch, blasted the next pitch over the wall on the left for a solo homer, his 3rd of the season. Noah went 7 innings, allowing just 1 earned run on 3 hits. He struck out 7 Mets and walked 1. Despite Walker only going 4 innings, the Mets only needed to use 2 pitchers behind him. Shreve went 1 1/3 innings, and right-hander Adonis Medina gave the Mets 2.2 innings of scoreless baseball, allowing just 1 hit and striking out 1. In 2 appearances with the Mets this season, Medina has yet to allow a run, and that is a good thing. Now, the Mets and Phillies continue their 4-game series on Friday night with the first pitch set for 7:05 on SNY and the SNY app. And Max Scherzer will take the mound against fellow righty Kyle Gibson. Not sure what the weather forecast is. I know they're predicting rain in the New York area, so we'll have to see what transpires. We may have a little rain-out theater today. But nonetheless, whether we play or not, we can still rejoice in that victory last night. There really aren't too many nights when you have something like that. Unbelievable. You just don't have many nights like this. So this is one we will never, ever forget. When you enter the ninth inning of a game down 7-1, as Aaron Nola kept the Met bats quiet all night and chip away one by one like the Mets did, and they turned this into an epic, epic historic rally, scoring 7 runs, come away with 8-7 win. And you can't help but think that a big rally like that against a rival won't help build things for this ball club. Yeah, it's tough to remain not giddy when something like that happens. But let's consider the fact that you won the game on the road against a pretty damn good ball club in Philadelphia. But when you string good at-bats like that together by some good hitters, that is a positive sign without a doubt. It will make everybody kind of know that as long as the Mets got some outs, they've got a chance. And whether the Mets have won or lost when they've been behind this season, they've been fighters. They've been fighting every single game. And you can't help but credit some of that to Buck Showalter. What a job he has done as manager. Now, with just 3 outs to play in the ninth inning, Marte got started with an infield single. Francisco Lindor then homered, which at the time felt like more of a good moment solely for him, as he was really struggling, going 1-for-22, and he was slumping, but it turned out to be something incredible. So as Frankie rose from the ashes, so did the ball club. And it seemed like the whole team fed off of Lindor's homer, because let's face it, Lindor may be the most integral part of that Met lineup. And if he's going to do well, I think the rest of the players follow suit. He was battling, and was falling for basically one of those moments that euphoria took over. And then after that, the lineup really got going, and they kept battling, and they were able to take it to another level. 4 hits after Lindor's homer, the Mets found themselves trailing by just 2 runs. And what an at-bat, what a nail-biter Brandon Nimmo's at-bat was, and he came through. He lined a 2-run single of Corey Knebel tied the game 7-7. The game was on the line. Now, the inning was capped off by Marte as he launched a double like he does. He hits the ball hard, and that scored Nimmo, and the Mets were up by a run. Like Brandon Nimmo says, he was an optimist, but he just going until they say, till they blow the whistle, so they say. You never give up, and you just say, okay, when it comes to be my turn, I give it everything I've got. It seems like every guy on this team has that mentality, and when you do that, it allows for things like that to happen, and that's the only way. It's not necessarily like, oh yeah, we're going to win this game. It's more, I'm going to do my job when I get up there. I'm going to give everything I got. I'm going to be prepared when I get up there. That's the only way to win on a night like that. And I'm paraphrasing Brandon Nimmo there. Now check out this stat. Coming into Thursday, the last 684 times an MLB team trailed by 6 runs in the final innings, they lost the game. And for the Mets in particular, they were 0-330 in the last 25 seasons, trailing by 6 runs or more entering the ninth inning. With a 5-run ninth inning comeback against St. Louis Cardinals and combined no-hitter already under their belt this season, the Mets had another special moment on Thursday, And this really is becoming a special season. It started to feel like those things are just not coincidences, but rather a confident team proving that they can be amazing on any given night, and they sure have on quite a few nights this year. It was a great team win. Very, very special. And let's admit it, it's fun. We're only in May, got a long way to go. But this one, I think the team will keep in the back of their heads as they focus on what's ahead of them at going forward. Yes, everyone is contributing to the team this year. You know who's really contributing too? Drew Smith. He has really, really pitched well for the Mets, and he has been flinging that ball this year. His pitches have been so difficult to hit. He is physically sound. The 28-year-old reliever has emerged as a force to the team's bullpen through the first month. He entered Thursday without an earned run allowed in 10 appearances. Only five other MLB pitchers who had logged at least 10 innings held that distinction. The Mets have needed it between early season inconsistencies from others and injuries. A significant setback occurred this week when Trevor May was shut down from throwing for 4 weeks because of a stress reaction in his right humerus. It has left Smith, along with Seth Lugo and Adam Ottavino, as the key pieces leading into closer Edwin Diaz. Now, Smith is just thankful to pitch in any situation, he said, and the bigger situations are a little more fun. He doesn't want to say he's getting used to it, but he could get used to it as the year goes by, hopefully. And I could see him actually having a very, very important role in the Met bullpen this year. Now, he opened last season sidelined by a right shoulder injury and finished it within the same place. 31 appearances, he pitched to a 2.40 ERA with 41 strikeouts, 41 third innings. He missed the entire 2019 season after undergoing Tommy John surgery, but struggled 8 appearances the next year. This season, he struck out 15 batters in 11 and a third innings and allowed only 4 hits. In the first game of Tuesday's doubleheader against the Braves, he fired 2 shutout innings. It was the second straight appearance in which he asked to get more than 3 outs. Now, we always knew that Smith had stuff and that this could be the Smith we wanted to see. We're seeing right now, let's be honest. He's headed in the right direction, and he's just so much, he's so capable. He's got that electric arm, and it's just so fun to watch. He really does have the stuff to do it, and they just got to keep him feeling healthy. And with him and Edwin Diaz, we got some bullet throwers, some aspirin tablet tossers. But he really, really is doing good. And did you know that before he even threw a pitch for Buck Showalter, the reliever had an in with the manager? Showalter's son William, a scout with the Orioles, had watched Smith in college and had previously mentioned him to his dad. Yeah, so Buck's got the skinny on him from his son. So like father, like son, I think they've both fallen in love with Mr. Smith. Now the Mets bullpen ERA of 3.94 ranked 24th in MLB. It's an area the team will need to improve on as the season progresses. From Smith, they can't ask for much more better than this. It's a long season, and the starters going in and out, relievers have slumps just like hitters. But if we can have Smith consistently solid all year round, we are going to be that much better of a team. Now it's time to celebrate some Met birthdays today. Happy birthday to Willie Mays, born this day in 1931, making Willie 91 years old. Happy birthday to one of the biggest baseball legends of all time. Also, happy birthday to Mike Kincaid, born this day in 1973. And on this date in 2005, we lost Pete Gebrian. And for those of you who don't know Pete, he was the director of minor league operations for the Mets from 1975 to 79 and the director of scouting in 1980. So, sorry to reflect on Pete's passing. On transactions in this date of ministry, we got a few here. On this date in 1962, the Mets traded Don Zimmer. His era of a 62 Met was over. They traded him to the Reds for Bob Miller and Cliff Cook. On this day in 62, the Mets also traded Jim Marshall to the Pirates for Vinegar Ben Mizell, one of the greatest names in baseball history. And what a character he was. Well-rounded individual who had dabbled in politics. And we'll talk about Vinegar Ben one day on our podcast. Then on this date, the Mets traded Geraldo Catalina to the Tampa Bay Rays for Wilmer Font in 2019. And then on this date in 2021, the Mets traded Pedro Quintana to the Milwaukee Brewers for Billy McKinney. Billy came on pretty good for us for a month or so. A pleasant surprise last year, and that ended up being a pretty good deal for the Mets. He filled the void when they needed help. And speaking of Willie Mays, we're going to have a podcast at the end of the season when we do our off-season shtick just on Willie Mays, because we just can't talk about Willie on this podcast today. There's too much to talk about. We will talk about Mike Kincaid. Mike Kincaid, on July 31st, 1998, was traded to the Mets from the Milwaukee Brewers for left-handed pitcher Bill Pulsifer. Yes, one of the members of Generation K was traded for Mr. Kincaid, Bill Pulsifer, the left-handed ace out of the potential Generation K. Now, along with fellow pitching prospects Isringhausen and Paul Wilson, Pulsifer had been promoted as part of Generation K, which was a trio of starting pitchers who were supposed to carry the team's rotation for the next decade. Isringhausen and Wilson sustained arm injuries while Pulsifer encountered control problems, and none enjoyed any substantial success with the Mets. After the trade, Kincaid struggled with the Mets' AAA affiliate at Norfolk. He made his major league debut on September 8, 1998, in 16-4 loss to the Philadelphia Phillies, but struggled to establish himself in the big leagues. He appeared in a total of 31 games with the Mets in 98-99, but was sent all the way down to Class AA Binghamton Mets for the 2000 season, the same level he had mastered 3 years before. Surprisingly, Kincaid's season in Binghamton marked a resurgence in his career. He was named to the Eastern League All-Star team and on July 28th was traded to the Baltimore Orioles, giving him a fresh new start with the new franchise. The Mets sent Kincaid, Melvin Mora, Leslie Bray, and prospect Pat Gorman to the Orioles in order to acquire shortstop Mike Bordick for a playoff run. Bordick helped the Mets reach the World Series that year, but the deal proved costly. Bordick returned to the Orioles as a free agent that offseason, and Melvin Mora developed into a star in his own right. Now, Kincaid appeared in three games with the Orioles at the end of the year, then left for Sydney to represent the United States of America at the 2000 Summer Olympics. America won the gold medal that year, and Kincaid played a key role getting on base in the seventh inning of a semifinal game against South Korea and scoring America's second run in a come-from-behind 3-2 win. Now, Kincaid went on and experienced his first major league success in 2001, batting 275 with a 345 OBP and 160 at-bats with the Orioles. He signed with the Dodgers as a free agent at the end of that season, and enjoyed tremendous success as a bench player, batting 380 with 7 extra base hits and only 50 at-bats. Kincaid was less successful in return engagement with the Los Angeles Dodgers in 2003, though he did finish 5th in the National League with 16 hit-by-pitches. He played in Japan and the minor leagues after that. Japan in 2004 with the Hanshin Tigers, and in 2005 he played with the Cleveland Indians, Buffalo Bisons. In 2006, in the Marlin organization with the Albuquerque Isotopes. He spent 2007 in the Cubs organization with the Iowa Cubs, and as a third baseman with the Trenton Thunder in 2007. And that was the AA affiliate. They had some really good ballplayers on that Trenton Thunder squad. And February 28th, he signed a minor league contract with the Seattle Mariners. That was basically the end of the road for Mike Kincaid. Now it's time to talk about the greatest Facebook group there is. the New York Mets baseball way of life. If you're a New York Mets fan and are on Facebook and are not a member, you have to check us out. We are the greatest group on Facebook. It's not even close. And if you're not a subscriber to this podcast, please do subscribe. We have one every day for you, and you'll be alerted every time one is up and ready. So do check that out. And we always have great stuff in the group, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But first, we're going to go and give you the Jeopardy and trivia question today from that very same group. Who is ready? Okay, it looks like you guys are. So let's get right to it, shall we? I think we'll give you the trivia question first. Today's trivia question is, what Met player got the first hit ever in Coors Field? There's your trivia question, and here is your Jeopardy clues for today. The Mets released him after the 1981 season, and in his seven major league seasons, he pitched 465 innings in 251 total games, making one start and compiling a 3.23 ERA with 22 saves. He also pitched 13 total seasons in the minor leagues. Do you know who it is? Lock in your answers, and we'll be back at the end of the podcast to let you know how you did. Now, what is going on in the group? Well, we have so much good stuff going on. We have a quote from Davey Johnson when Davey was talking about Dykstra. Davey had this to say about Lenny. Lenny was just Lenny, and there was nobody quite like him. Everybody loved him for it. Was he cocky? Of course. But the one thing you can be in New York is cocky if you produce. That much better. That's much better than if you're not cocky and you can't produce. Then we gave out Rick Aguilera's stats with the Mets, and he had some pretty good years from 1985 to 89. You want to delve deep into it. Then we have a quote from Sandy Alderson in 2010. When he interviewed for the Met job and said, Bernie Madoff wasn't even a top of conversation when I interviewed for the Met job. I didn't raise it. Maybe I should have. The bottom line is, I would have taken the job anyway. It just added to the challenge. And we're so glad that Sandy had some tough times. He had some tough circumstances to work under, but he did very, very well. Actually put a clip of Gary Cohn at the end of the game, and we're going to show you.
Brandon Nimmo with a two-run single. The Mets have scored six times in the top of the ninth to tie this game at 7-7. What a rally. And Starling unloads one deep left center. Back to the warning track goes Herrera near the wall. It's off the base. Here's Nimmo around third. He'll come in to score, and the Mets take the lead. Unbelievable! Starling Marte with his third consecutive hit drives in the go-ahead run with a double, and the Mets with seven runs in the ninth lead it 8-7.
There was the call. Thanks to Mike Fried for loading that up. Then we reminisced a little bit about Hank Webb. We showed some pictures from the night in Philly last night. Good stuff. Even Steve Cohen tweeted, can we hear some noise on Twitter after that comeback? We sure can, Steve. We sure can. Then we asked you if you remembered Bobby File. And Mike Fried, again, always solid contributor. He came out and said, wow, just wow, what an incredible comeback. Lindor haters can take a seat for now. He made up for the error. Down six runs in the ninth, it was unfortunate that Walker didn't have his best in the beginning, and Lindor cost them big runs. Bam, the floodgates opened up for seven runs to win 8-7. Pete, then McNeil, and like magic, Lindor with the two-run jack. Marte with the homer. Nimmo and Kanha getting the hits. What a magical win. Next man up. This team will not die. Big moment, and this game is a key to something special again. Oh, yeah. Perfectly said, Mike, and that sums up everything we need to talk about on this podcast today. Now, we're going to go ahead and give you the Jeopardy clues as we finish up our podcast. Once again, the Mets released him after the 81 season. In his seven major league seasons, he pitched 465 and a third innings and 251 total games, making one start and compiling a 3.23 ERA with 22 saves. He also pitched 13 total seasons in the minor leagues. The correct response to today's final Mets Jeopardy is, who is Dyer Miller? Congrats to our good buddy Kareem Haywood on being the first to get that one right. And the Met trivia question of the day is, what Met player got the first hit ever in Coors Field? Well, the correct answer is speedster Brett Butler. And Dave Phillip is the first one to get that answer right. Good job by Dave and Kareem today, two of our smartest and most intelligent trivia and Jeopardy players. Well, that's going to wrap it up for another great Met podcast. I want to thank you guys again for listening. You mean the world to me. I'm not sure what the story is going to be in the next couple of days. The Philly, New York area, both areas, is supposed to be doused with some rain. So we'll have to see what happens. But if they do play tonight, Max Scherzer is ready to go. But it may be best just to use a bullpen game if they actually do. You don't want to mess up with Max. So we'll see what happens. But we'll be back tomorrow to talk about whatever does transpire. And we'll talk about everything that's good in the Metland as always. Again, thanks for listening. Enjoy your day. Stay dry. And let's go, Mets. Again, what a game last night. Unbelievable. Take care, folks. Talk soon.
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really sucking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody's coming down to meet the Mets. Mets from New streets. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! Oh, they're hollering and cheering and they're jumping in their seats. Where do they go? To meet the Mets! All the fans are true to the orange and blue. So hurry up and come on down, 'cause we got ourselves a ball from the Mets of New York town. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Mets are really something.